The button and we are off. Tonight we are looking at sorting out the but now period. We do know that there are time periods in your Bible, dispensations, administrations, however you want to term it. The biblical term, of course, is dispensations, of which we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul calls that the but now period, which begs the question, what else is there? Well, Paul also tells us that there was times past and ages to come. But we are concerned right now with the but now. We live in the nitty gritty, the down and dirty but now, and that is what we have to deal with. So the issue is, because your Bible covers other periods of time, times past also mentions those ages to come, being able to rightly divide, being able to sort out what is in effect for the but now and what is not, that is crucial for you to understand what is doctrine for you, the church, the body of Christ, in this dispensation, the grace of God, or the but now. There's more to it than that, though, and we're going to get to it. We're going to take a look at that in the lesson, because the but now is going to apply not only to us, but in fact, Israel. The little flock of Israel enters into that but now period, and they have to deal with it too. We're going to take a look at that as we go through our lesson. Let's start with Joel. Let's start with Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Peter says this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Well, obviously, Peter is quoting prophecy. We all know that verse, and we all hopefully have a pretty good grip on what was going on in that Acts 2 period. What was going on was that which Joel had spoke about, starting there in Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel chapter 1 verse 15 pretty much repeats the same thing. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, as the destruction of the Almighty shall it come. You're going to find out, as you look through prophecy, as you look through the prophets, as you look through the Old Testament, you find out that a good deal of it deals with, in fact, a coming kingdom. That is all associated with the nation Israel, that nation which was chosen by God out of the loins of Abraham, a nation created by one man, or started with one man, created by God, and that is to be the chosen nation of this earth for the Lord. Well, as you look through your Old Testament, as you go through quite a bit of your Bible, the vast majority of your Bible deals with that one nation, the nation Israel. And a lot of the information that you find is going to be prophetic in nature, things still and yet to come. And quite frankly, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you are going to forever and ever be confused about what's going on, what's going to happen, where you are, and who you are. So that is the purpose of this lesson, is trying to sort out some of those questions. That day of the Lord that Joel was talking about, that day of the Lord that Peter was talking about there in Acts chapter 2, it was prophesied by all prophets. Everybody was talking about it. Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 30 talked about it when he said, in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea, and if one look into the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Physical darkness. The sun goes dark. The moon doesn't give its light. All the stars leave the sky. There's no light up in the heavens. And it becomes a time of unequaled trouble. You see, you'd know if you were in that time, wouldn't you? You'd wake up in the morning, the sun would fail to come up. That would be a pretty clear indication of exactly where you were in your Bible. Well, that day is going to be a time of unequaled trouble. It's going to be a day of darkness and gloominess, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 2, a day of clouds and a thick darkness. The morning spread upon the mountains, great people and strong, and there'll never be another time like it, even to the years of many generations. That's the same thing that was spoken, of course, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, when he said that, when he's talking about, then shall there be great tribulation, such as not was from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And, of course, except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, they did get shortened. They got shortened in the early Acts period. Acts chapter 1 through the beginning of Acts chapter 9, we're looking at tribulation doctrine. We're looking at tribulation occurrences. And that's exactly how they got shortened. Well, that's a whole other lesson, is it not? But we find those same things. We've seen Peter in Acts chapter 2 talking about this prophetic event. We've seen Joel talking about this prophetic event. We've seen Isaiah talking about this prophetic event. We've seen Jesus himself talking about the prophetic event. We find the same things being spoken by all the prophets concerning Israel in this time to come, this time that has not yet passed. And you look at Amos. See, we have an Amos in the room. Let's go to Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. For what is the end of it to you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It's that same period of trouble. It's that same period of darkness. It's the same period of God's wrath being poured out. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's no wonder if you like old Amos, don't you? It's no wonder if you cannot rightly divide the word of truth and you think that all of this is for you. Goodness, I wouldn't even get up in the morning. I'd hide under the bed and be quaking in my boots constantly, wondering when the next shoe was going to drop from God, when these things were going to come to pass, because this is not a time when you want to be around. This is a terrible time. And Peter says, hey, it's here. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, Acts 2:16. Well, what happened? What happened? I have to believe Peter. He's the gentleman that was given the keys to the kingdom. He had binding and loosing powers. Whatever he bound on earth was bound in heaven. He was of no small authority when it came to Israel and the prophetic program. Well, Peter having those keys to the kingdom, guess what? He's saying the same thing again in Acts chapter 2, verse 20, that the sun should be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. How much more evidence does one need that Peter was in fact saying, it's here. It's here, it's here. Acts chapter 2. We know that what was going on. The churches of Christ, the assemblies of God, all the Acts 2:38ers that think that the plan of salvation is repent and be baptized. How sad it is that they cannot, in fact, recognize what was going on in Acts chapter 2. The words are right in front of them. You don't have to be a brain surgeon in order to figure out when Peter announces what's going on. And the whole Bible is speaking of that very event that Peter is announcing is happening. It is not all that difficult, is it? Once you finally grasp the concept that not all the Bible is written for you, or not all to you, it is all written for you, but not everything applies directly to you. Not everything is doctrine and instruction for you. Once you get over that selfish condition of wanting everything to be about me, 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 and I, what are those penguins in that movie? That's all they say, I. Once you get past that, then you can let go of some things and figure out that, you know, if it was something that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, amen, it doesn't apply to me because I'm not in that group of people that's going to be going through that. Well, according to prophecy for the nation Israel, associated with that day of unequal trouble, that day of darkness, that day of destruction, there's going to be a scattering of those same people, the scattering of Israel. You see that numerous places throughout your Bible. Look at Psalm chapter 60, verse 1. The psalmist says, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. That's the prayer. Come back to us, God, because we've been bad and you have scattered us all over the place. Jeremiah 9:16, the weeping prophet. You don't find a lot of good information, a lot of happy information in Jeremiah, although there is some, but most of Jeremiah's information is in fact an indictment of Israel, telling them all the bad things that are going to go on. And here's another one. I will scatter them among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. That's out there in the tribulation period. Interesting stuff. And Ezekiel speaking the same thing. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape sword among the nations when ye shall be scattered throughout the countries. the scattering. So we have all these things going on, and all these prophets saying essentially the same thing. You can read Ezekiel, and he's going to match up with Jeremiah, which is going to match up with the Psalms, which is going to match up with Zephaniah and Amos and what Peter was talking about and Jesus. Goodness gracious, you start to think these guys must have copied. It was like when I was in school and everybody was looking at everybody else's paper. They must have copied off of each other because they all seem to be saying the same thing. Here Jesus comes and he's in John chapter 16, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it is now that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Well, Jesus wasn't going to be left alone. He had the Father, but guess what? All of Israel was going to get scattered, and that's the same scattering that was being spoken about through all the Old Testament prophets. That's what they were pointing toward, this day of darkness, this day of destruction, this day when everybody would get kicked out of Jerusalem, scattered throughout all the world. It'd be a terrible time for all these people, and here comes fulfillment of some of the prophecy in Acts chapter 8. Goodness gracious me. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, people think that they're finding the plan of salvation, and they're dead nut in the middle of a tribulation period that has been prophesied since the beginning of the world, spoken of by all the holy prophets. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And the time when there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were, guess what, all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, therefore. So in other words, the apostles hung out in Jerusalem, but everybody else got scattered. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went every way preaching the word. Well, what's going on? Let's just slow down here for a moment. We find prophecy pointing toward a scattering, pointing toward everybody being dispersed throughout the world, and these people are of Israel. These are Jews, and this is a prophetic event, and that is prophecy that points toward that great and notable day of the Lord, that time of Jacob's trouble, that time when Peter announced was actually here. And then in Acts 8, you find out that this is what's going on, is the scattering. There's the persecution. Saul is the one persecuting the church. Saul, of course, our apostle Paul in one more chapter. But Saul is the one persecuting the church and scattering those believers of the little flock of Israel. So here we find prophecy that has been spoken of since all the holy prophets since the world began being fulfilled right there in Acts chapter 8. Well, scattered Israel, what are they to do? Do they have instruction? Are they just out on their own? Are they running willy-nilly, hiding under the bed? Absolutely not. They have instruction that they were given by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They have instruction to follow. That's a good thing. If you're going to have all these difficulties, if you're going to have all these problems and persecutions, then you ought to have a game plan that was given to them by the Lord Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 19. What are those people who were scattered engaging themselves in? What are they doing? Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. Who was the target audience? Who were they doing? Who were they giving the word to? The message that they had was, in fact, the gospel of the kingdom, which was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here they go, preaching to none but unto the Jews only. That's Acts 11, my friends. That is two chapters after Paul receives the revelation of the mystery. Understand that. That here we are engaged in a time where Paul has already met the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, has gotten saved. He has been given some information that he is going to be separated, that he is going to be sent to the Gentiles, that there is something special for him to do. And two chapters later, we still have Israel going to none but the Jews only, and these are those that got scattered by the prosecution that arose in Acts chapter 7 about the stoning of Stephen. Do you see, in fact, two programs at this one time running concurrently? Here we have the beginning of what is the grace program. That would be the information given to the Apostle Paul through the revelation of the mystery. And we still have, at this time, tribulation doctrine for the nation Israel in effect. They are doing what is, in fact, the Great Commission. That is the so-called Great Commission. That's where they were to Matthew 28:19. Now, this is the Great Commission, supposedly, that is supposed to be your information and my marching orders. And if you're a Baptist, this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that is not our Great Commission. How do I know that? Because I see Jews, I see Israel in a tribulation condition, in a tribulation setting, going about doing that same verse, Matthew 28:19. They were, in fact, performing the Great Commission. Believing Israel then, what were they doing? Were they wrong for what they were doing, or were they right for what they were doing? That's what we need to figure out. And when does things change? They were, in fact, operating within the instruction that was given to them by Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. They were operating according to those very instructions in the context of the events that they were operating within. If you remember, Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, announces that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He recognized what was going on. He recognized the signs of the times. He knew because the tongues had been delivered. He knew because power had come down by means of the Holy Spirit and indwelt them. He was able to understand exactly what was happening. He was recognizing the signs of the times. So you match the signs of the times up with the doctrine according to those, the given doctrine that is supposed to go with that particular context, and you do that. And that's what they were doing. They were going to all nations and baptizing those who were Jews. Acts 11 tells us that they were going none other than to the Jews. There were no Gentiles being proselytized. There were no Gentiles being preached to. Israel was going to the Jews. So Israel was in fact doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing according to the instruction that had been given in Matthew chapter 10. All the way back then, Jesus spoke of these times and these events coming about. Matthew chapter 10 verse 5, these 12, that would be the 12 disciples by the way, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them saying, go ye not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Well, so that would mean Matthew chapter 28, the teaching all nations. That would be teaching all nations where you find Jews. That would not be entering into the cities of the Samaritans. That would not be going to places where the Jews weren't hanging out, because that's who you were looking for. But rather, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye preach, saying, the kingdom is at hand. We're in the tribulation, boy, the kingdom's on its way. That's exactly what the message is. That's exactly what Jesus had been preaching. That's exactly what John the Baptist had been preaching. That's exactly what Peter was preaching. And that's exactly what those that were scattered abroad in Acts chapter 11 were preaching to the Jews that had been scattered. They were carrying out the so-called Great Commission of Matthew 28, finding the Jews and preaching that the kingdom was at hand. That's what's going on. And that is two chapters after, my friends, Paul receives the beginning of the knowledge of the revelation, the mystery there on the road to Damascus. Wow. There's some differing programs. There's some dueling doctrines, if you ever heard it. Well, understand, Peter was, in fact, also carrying out that Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 commission in early Acts. He was doing exactly what he had been commanded to do. Once he identified in Acts chapter 2 that this was that, we're in the tribulation period, boys, here we go. Here comes the doctrine, what are we supposed to do? So they open up their notes and say, what did Jesus say about this time? And Sure enough, there is instruction there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. They're supposed to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes yet nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So here's the instruction. You're supposed to be healing people, raising the dead, casting out devils, all those things. Plus, you don't even have to take a backpack with you. You don't have to take your money with you. You don't have to worry about dinner reservations, because all those things are going to be provided as you go about preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is tribulation doctrine. My friend, that is exactly what's going on. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we see Peter being a good boy, doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. And the multitude of them that believed, this is right after the day of Pentecost there, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. That would be the neither providing gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. That's not taking scrip for your journey, or an extra coat, or shoes, or staves, because things will be provided to you as you go about, so you don't have to worry about it. Acts 4:32. That is the fulfillment. That is exactly what they were doing. They were not taking anything of their own. They had all things in common. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. What else was Peter doing? Then Peter said, He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What's he doing? Get up and walk. Get up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He's healing. He is healing those who need healed. That is Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. What else was he doing? What else was Peter engaging in? Acts chapter 9. After Paul had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Peter is still in the tribulation doctrine mode. Acts chapter 9, verse 40. What's he doing? He's raising the dead. He is raising the dead. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Here comes Peter healing the sick. Here comes Peter not worrying about how he's going to pay for dinner. Here comes Peter not taking an extra coat or socks or shoes with him, not packing his bags. Here comes Peter raising the dead left and right. That is all tribulation kingdom doctrine for Israel. And understand, now here would be the really salient point. This is going on at the same time that Paul has received the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. He has received the gospel of the grace of God. Has yet to get out there and make his first speech, but yet he is getting the information. He has already met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and we still have tribulation period going on for Israel. Who would have ever guessed, my friend, that Jesus actually knew what he was talking about as he walked around back there in the Holy Land, as he engaged in his earthly ministry? Who would have ever guessed that Jesus actually knew that there was another program, what we call the revelation of the mystery, that was going to be engaged? Who would have known? There's grace preachers that claim that Jesus did not know the mystery, that he was completely ignorant, gave up all his attributes of deity during his earthly ministry, and as he's seated on the right hand of the Father in heavenly places at this very minute, is still dumb as a brick when it comes to a whole lot of things. Well, I would have to tell you that in Luke chapter 22, we have perfect proof that Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, that Jesus was not ignorant of the mystery, and that Jesus was preparing the little flock of Israel for a dramatic change in doctrine that was going to occur in the but now period, that Israel was going to have to go through a change of doctrine themselves, and switch from this tribulation doctrine, which is apparently going on in the early Acts period, all the way up into Acts 11, as we see as they're going about preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Luke chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus tells them, "Then he said unto them, but now." There's some familiar words. "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." That would be the exact opposite of instruction of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 10. That would be the exact opposite instruction that Jesus had given in Matthew chapter 10. When he said, don't worry about all this stuff. Don't take this stuff. Everything will be provided for you. Now he says, remember when I told you that? I changed my mind. Now, take your money. Take your scrip. Take some weapons to protect yourself, by the way. Take your coat and your shoes and all the other things. Pack your bags and make dinner reservations. That would be a dramatic change, would it not? Dramatic, but was it? I guess here's the question. Here is the confusion. Was Jesus saying, drop everything and change right now? When he says, but now, did he mean everything that I've ever told you up to this point, we're going to make a change? Obviously, that wasn't the case. Because after Luke 22, obviously, we still go into that tribulation doctrine period where Peter and the boys, they're all going about doing the instruction of Matthew chapter 10. But now, there is going to be a change. And so, Peter and all them, apparently, they must have written that down in their notebook somewhere as they were keeping notes as to what Jesus was saying so that they wouldn't forget anything. But it wasn't applying to the situation. They were in a tribulation period. They were in that which was prophesied by all the prophets. They were in that which was spoken of by Joel, the prophetic tribulation period. So that would not have applied. Why in the world did Jesus tell them in Luke 22 an opposite instruction that they needed for the tribulation period? The little flock of believing Israel would in fact enter into that but now period. The but now period being that period which we are in, this the dispensation of the grace of God. And they would in fact have to be equipped to operate concurrently with Paul in his dispensation of the grace of God, according to a revelation of the mystery given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to have to be able to operate in an environment that was not tribulation. That's what they had been prepared for. They were going to have to be able to operate doctrinally in a but now environment. John chapter 16, 15. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, rose again the third day, and ascended into heaven there in Acts chapter 1. Everybody saw him go. And at that point, the tribulation was as soon as the Holy Ghost showed up, the tribulation period was there. That was the tribulation. That was the time of Jacob's trouble. It was easy for them to identify. But in John chapter 16, Jesus talks about a different period. He says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. And Jesus in John 18:36 answers, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In the but now, where is Christ's kingdom? Maybe I can ask you that. Where is it? Here on earth? Is the earthly kingdom, is the prophesied messianic Davidic earthly kingdom right there on Mount Zion in existence? Can we take a plane and go see Jesus? Absolutely not. As we operate in this but now dispensation of the grace of God, this unprophesied period of your Bible, Christ's kingdom is not of this earth. Not all things have yet been put under his feet, and we know that, do we not? We're operating in this present evil world, not in the kingdom. Rather, the but now has doctrinal impact even for those of the little flock of the nation Israel. Nobody is going to deny that Israel is in fact a prophetically driven nation. They are the object of most of the prophecies, or surrounding Israel anyway. Most of the prophecies surround the nation Israel as the prophetic nation of God. And that is the object of quite a bit of your Bible. And nobody's ever going to deny that. Their destiny, their course, their end game, it's all been prophesied. So, and we know that. Acts 3:20. Here comes Peter and he says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. We saw all these holy prophets that had spoken of this very thing, this end game, this coming kingdom, this restitution of the world, the restitution of everything, and the setting up of Israel as the preeminent nation in the world, being ruled over by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus came to fulfill that, which was spoken by all the prophets. He tells us so much in Matthew 5:17, that think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus was here to fulfill that which was prophesied. That being that Israel was going to get their kingdom, that it was going to come in, and that he was going to sit on the throne on an earthly reign, reigning over the 12 tribes, over the 12 apostles, the whole nine yards, everything spoken of in prophecy. Jesus had come to fulfill prophecy. Simple as that. But Jesus knew something, did he not? When he's preparing Israel for another, a change in time, or a change in dispensation, you see, prophecy is not like watching a movie. When you sit down to watch a movie, it has a beginning, it has the development of the plot, then it has this middle where all the action is, and then it has the ending where everybody, you know, the guy gets the girl and they all live happily ever after and everything turns out just hunky-dory. But prophecy is not like watching a movie. It doesn't run like a film reel without stopping, without starting, without any changes. The prophecy will never go away. And the fulfillment of the prophecy is a surety. God has promised the nation Israel that all the things promised to them, prophesied about them, will in fact come to pass. Nobody ever said it was going to be like watching a movie reel. Nobody ever said that there weren't going to be short features in the meantime. And there's a but now period that your apostle talks about. And those during that but now thing, time, the things of prophecy are set aside for Israel and Gentile alike until a particular time, until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 11. Paul tells us about the nation Israel when he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Here we see that Israel has in fact fallen. They've stumbled. They are of no account. They have no covenant standing with God, and they are in fact the covenant standing nation. They are in fact the nation that prophecy pertains to. Without a nation in covenant standing that prophecy pertains to, there would be no need for prophecy, would there? That would just follow as the night to day. And in Romans 11:25, Paul says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. This was a mystery. This was information not understood. When Jesus talked about, hey, you remember when I told you to not take all these things? Well, I changed my mind. Now take them. I'm sure that Peter and all the boys were dumb as a brick concerning why Jesus would be giving out this contrary information. I'm sure they had no clue, because it was kept a mystery. Paul says, don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, but there is an end game to that blindness, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Until this dispensation of the grace of God, which is happening in the but now time period, is done, then Israel has no covenant or prophetic standing in your Bible. in this but now period of setting the setting aside of Israel, in the but now period when Israel was being set aside. Let me just say that. There is a transition period in your Bible. There wasn't one day where they were the prophetic heroes of the Bible, and the next day they were goats cut off. It was a transitional period, and during the transition period, just real bluntly, things are tough. Your Bible hits some tough territory while there is a transition going on. Israel is being set aside. Israel is declining, and in comes at the same time this dispensation of grace. So in that but now period of the setting aside of Israel, things for the little flock of Israel, that's Peter and them, all those who had been in the tribulation, had been following tribulation doctrine, they're raising people from the dead, they're healing people, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, all the tribulation attributes were there, and yet all of a sudden, something occurs. That would be Paul receiving some information on the road to Damascus, that there's going to be a change in venue for everyone. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. He said unto them, when I sent you without a purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? That was referring back there to Matthew chapter 10 and those instructions. Don't worry about taking anything with you. And Jesus asked them the question, when I said not to take anything with you, did you ever lack anything? And they said nothing. So they had all they needed. The dispensational change is apparent when you compare that then to Romans chapter 15, verse 26, as Israel and their prophetic program and their prophetic standing fade away, then they do lack things. Because Paul says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Who was left behind in Jerusalem during the scattering? That was Peter, James, John. That's who. The people that were promised that they would not lack for anything, that were told that they would not need anything, that in the right context, that in the tribulation context, guess what? Now they have need of things. And they're getting contributions because they're poor. Gentile salvation. So you see that things have changed for Israel. You see that things have changed for Israel. Gentile salvation, understand this. Through the circumcision, that would be Israel, believing Israel, the Jews, becomes the commandment for the little flock. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 23. We find the Lord Jesus Christ himself being approached by a Samaritan woman, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and he besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered. Now notice who's coming to who. Here is the Samaritan woman coming to the Jew, not the other way around. The Samaritan woman, the Gentile, is seeking after the Jew. She crieth after us, say the apostles, but Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't want anything to do with her. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Worshipping Jesus, rightly so. God manifest in the flesh. She knew who he was. But he answered and said, it is not meet to give the children's bread, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. What was he doing? He's saying, it's not right. I am sent to fulfill prophecy. I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am sent to the prophetic people, those with the covenant, those with the promises. And it's not right to disregard all those things in order to help a Samaritan Gentile dog. Period. Wow, that's harsh. And she said, truth, Lord, you're right. It's not right to do that. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Wow. She understood her position. She didn't want the whole loaf of bread. She just wanted the crumbs that came off Israel's table. She didn't want the whole tamale. She just wanted whatever scraps were left in the trash can. That is, in fact, what got her saved. But notice what's going on. We have a Gentile coming after Jesus, looking for salvation, Jesus turning that Gentile away until she exhibits tremendous understanding and faith. Then and only then was she accepted. Notice the difference in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Peter, after his vision of the sheets being taken down, being let down, and without any understanding of who the Gentiles would become, and remember, in Acts 11, we still have the little flock out there going but to the Jews only. Peter is given a vision in Acts chapter 10. Up to this time, Peter has been doing exactly what he saw Jesus do. He wasn't going to any Gentile. He was shunning Gentiles. He didn't want anything to do with Gentiles. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. It was breaking God's law. If Peter had approached another Gentile, if he had allowed a Gentile into his presence, it would have been an abomination, according to Peter. But a change in the but now period, because you see, things are in fact changing at this time in the book of Acts. Israel, according to Christ's foreknowledge, where he gave them the instruction that, boys, things are going to change. Take things with you now. Take things with you when you get to that but now period. God has showed me, Peter says, that I should not call any man common or unclean. So we find Cornelius, the Gentile dog centurion, getting saved through the kingdom program by Peter, who up to that time would not have associated with any Gentile. So you see that this is a time of transition and a time of change, not only for the church, the body of Christ, the Gentiles, but also to the nation Israel. Israel is changing from gearing up to go into the kingdom at the beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry to going through the tribulation period, where they enter into the tribulation period, and unbeknownst to them, they're not going to finish the tribulation period and get the end of the story, the happy ending, the kingdom coming. Rather, the reel breaks. The movie reel breaks. And there's a pause in the program. Meanwhile, God's going to show you a short feature which no one knew was on the marquee out front. That the dispensation of the grace of God. And during this time of transition, you have to be discerning about what's going on. You have to understand, and that there is a need also to rightly divide Israel's but now doctrine away from that but now doctrine of the body of Christ. Because you have two programs running concurrently, there is every opportunity in the world to make error when you are reading about what's going on. Notice in 1 Corinthians. Before we go to 1 Corinthians, let me just reiterate. I'm sure that you've heard me say this before, but I will say it again now and probably dozens of times in the future. When you're going through the book of Acts, it's not cut and dry, because understanding who you are dealing with, who is being spoken to, there is six possible combinations of people that you could be dealing with in the book of Acts. There are believing kingdom Israel, there's unbelieving Israel, there's Israel saved by the gospel of the grace of God according to the revelation of the mystery. Then you have the same for the Gentiles. You have Gentiles who can be enter into the kingdom program of Peter, James, and John. You have unbelieving Gentiles, and then you have Gentiles that are saved by that which was given to Paul, the revelation of the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. You have six different audiences, six different groups of people that you're dealing with in the Acts period, and things don't change immediately. There's this transition period that makes part of your Bible exceedingly difficult. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God. This is Paul, and this is who he's addressing his letter to. Just like when James addresses his letter to the 12 tribes that are scattered, just as in 1 Peter 1:1, I believe, Peter is addressing those that have been scattered. You are able to identify who that is. Well, Paul gives us an identifier too, but it's not as clear cut as all that, is it? Because when Paul identifies who he's writing to in 1 Corinthians, he tells us that it's unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Okay, got that part. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Got that part. Called to be saints. Okay. And all that are in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay. Both theirs and ours. What's that last deal? Both theirs and ours. Uh-oh. We got a rightly dividing problem. We got a problem figuring out who's being spoken to. Because all of a sudden, you have both theirs and ours involved in 1 Corinthians. You have two audiences being talked to. You have kingdom believers, theirs, and you have gospel of grace believers, ours. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Therein lies the confusion in Corinthians. Therein lies the confusion in Acts. Too many audiences, not enough explanation. There are mixed audiences being dealt with concurrently in those books of your Bible, in that part of your Bible. That is why it is so easy to misunderstand, to miscomprehend, to break your neck, to fall down and stumble. Look at what's going on. 1 Corinthians 1:12. Paul says, now this I say, that every one of you that saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. There were divisions among them, claiming who was born of who, basically, who brought who into the believing, believing in Christ. But look at the names that you see in there. You have people that were taught by Christ. That's a kingdom believer. You have someone that was brought in by Cephas. That's Peter, kingdom believer. You have Apollos and Paul, grace believers. Uh-oh. Whether Paul, 1 Corinthians 3:22. Paul says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. He's making reference, of course, to that time, ages to come, dispensation of the fullness of times, all things when all things are combined, all things in heaven and all things in earth. But the point being is that when you're in this book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, although things start to clear up in 2 Corinthians, when you're in this transition period of Acts, you're dealing with more than one possible audience. And you need to be extremely discerning when you deal in these areas in order to sort out who's being spoken to and what's being said. Understand this also. Peter, the guy with the keys to the kingdom, he had some trouble sorting it all out and admits as much. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul tells us that Peter was come to Antioch. Paul had to withstand him face to face because Peter was to be blamed. Peter was a little confused about what was going on. Peter was acting as if he was in the Gentile grace program, when in fact he was in the kingdom believer program. Peter was to be blamed and had to be straightened out by Paul. Peter, in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, admits things are difficult, and understanding and sorting some of these things out can be, in fact, very difficult. An account, Peter says, that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So obviously, here's a group of people being written unto by Peter that had already been written to by Paul. Wonder who that could be. as also verse 16 in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Peter's admitting that there is difficulty in understanding some of these things that Paul is writing. Wow, this is the guy with the keys of the kingdom. But now, we have to understand where we are in your Bible. We are in the but now. And you need to understand who you are. You are Gentiles. You are not Israel. You are in the dispensation of the grace of God. You are not in prophecy. You are under grace. You're not under law. There are divisions to be made, and those divisions have to be respected. And the person that gives us the information for those divisions, in fact, tells us in that same 1 Corinthians book, 3:10, there's a good reason why he puts this in the book that it's in. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. In other words, there must be more than one way to build thereupon. And at this particular time in 1 Corinthians, there was. And both would have been right. If you were a kingdom believer under Cephas, the kingdom program would have been how you built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were a grace believer under Paul, then that would have been how you built upon the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Building upon the foundation, when you do that, understanding is needed between time past and but now. Ages to come, that's not a real problem, is it? All things will be combined, all things in heaven, all things in earth. I can pretty much figure that one out. But building upon the foundation now, in the but now, you need to use a lot of discernment. You need to be able to rightly divide the but now from that time past program. The Gentile salvation from that of Israel. The kingdom program from that of the grace program. John chapter 4, verse 22. Notice, in John 4, Jesus says, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. In the but now transition period, salvation was of the Jews, but salvation was also coming to the Gentiles by the grace of God in the dispensation of grace. By the time you get to Acts chapter 28, verse 28, my friends, salvation is no longer of the Jews. Acts 28:28, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You see the difference. You understand the change. And in between, when Paul meets the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts 28:28, you are dealing with transition. You are dealing with the fading away of Israel. You are dealing also with a change in their doctrine, in their operating instructions. And at the same time, you are seeing the increase of the body of Christ. You are seeing the introduction of grace doctrine according to the revelation of the mystery. That is why there is so much difficulty in those books. That's why it is so needful for you to 2 Timothy 2:15 study to show yourself approved unto God, being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we are going to